Good afternoon, everybody. It's Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2020, middle of the week, and time for our midweek Bible study. I don't know about you, but I was waiting for the thunderstorms yesterday, but they didn't arrive in London. I guess the Niagara Peninsula got a nice lightning display last night, but certainly we didn't get anything around here. Oh well, I guess that is a blessing, especially if you don't like thunderstorms. You have probably heard that Premier Ford has extended the emergency measures now until the end of June, which means group sizes of no more than five are still in place. It seems completely unnecessary to me, especially with the instances of COVID-19 slowing down and with so many other venues being reopened the last couple of weeks. But such is the way of things just now, and while we get a little frustrated, we still trust the Lord in all of this and hold to the truth that our God is still in control and knows what is going on and knows what he is doing as well in all of this time. Our prayer is that our world might recognize its sinfulness and wickedness and iniquity and repent of its sins. That's part of God's purposes and plans for any plague that comes into this world. And that people might see that God, Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus, is the God of heaven and earth, and be willing to submit to him by faith and believe him. But the world doesn't even have God in their sights, not even in the equation of moving forward. Everything is the ingenuity and working together to alleviate the effects of this pandemic. But we know as believers in Christ that there is far more importance attached to understanding what God would have us to know through all of this time as well. But before I get too ahead of myself, let's pray and we'll dig into our Bible study for today. Just one prayer announcement for you. I had a phone call from Dave Borthwick this morning concerning Ansel Wright. The last time Dave called me, he said that Ansel was doing extremely well. And yet today when he called, he said that Ansel was extremely down, ill, sick, and in palliative situation in his home. So I just called over to the house and spoke with Ansel's daughter, Susan, that we have seen here at church from time to time when she comes down to visit. And she explained that he is in palliative state, still at home, being looked after by his daughters and others, and that he has his body is filled with cancer. We hadn't realized that or heard that before, but he had apparently a CAT scan, and they deemed or discovered the cancer. So the doctors have given him just 3 months to live. And from our perspective, that's 3 months before he gets to see the Lord Jesus face to face. And while folks are obviously concerned and worried for him and sad that he's in such state, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord know that his last breath here will also be his first glimpse of the Savior in glory. 97 years old, Ansel is, and has had a tremendous life, service in hospitals and so on. Now seems to be coming to an end for him here on earth. And so we just want you to be aware of that and ask that you might pray for him, for his daughter Susan, and also a daughter Heather. And I think there's a couple more girls that I can't remember their names as well. But we'll keep you up to date with what's happening over at Ansel's place in these days. I certainly miss him. Always enjoyed his company and fellowship when he was able to be here, but a little tough right now. And I can't even get over to visit with them as well. So maybe I'll take a chance and go by and see what I can do. But we certainly know that God, prayers of God's people will be effective for bringing his grace to bear for comfort, peace, and help during this time. So I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this Wednesday, middle of the week. Thank you that we can come together in this fashion and be able to study your word together. I thank you for each one who's a part of Berean Baptist in these days. And thank you that as far as we have heard, no one has come down with the virus, and some are still locked away in their seniors' homes and can't really get out yet, but we trust and pray that that may soon resolve itself and allow folks to have some freedom to get out and move about. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunities we have to study the scriptures. And we just always recognize, Lord, the great encouragement that comes from knowing your word, the blessings that are there for us when we heed your word and obey it and really understand the truth of what you are saying. And we ask that you will continue to move in our hearts and lives, even in these days of separation, to make your word absolutely true and real for each one of us. We want to pray for Ansel today and ask, Lord, that you would be very close to him. We know that he knows you as Lord and Savior, has trusted you with his life for many, many years. And we thank you for the family that is around him just now. And we would pray that by your grace, you would give them great strength and bring rest and peace to their hearts and calmness and that you would care for them in a special way. We know that 97 years on this earth is a long time to live these days. And we just thank you for him and pray that you'll bless him in these last few days or months of his life here on earth. That we would pray, Lord, that you would give him just peace, that you would give him a pain-free experience just now, and that he might just quietly be able to slip into your presence. And to that end, we ask that you would be gracious to him. Thank you for all that you are doing in the life of our church, how you are keeping us together. Thank you for the good givings of your people here to the needs, the financial needs of our church. Pray you'll continue to bless each one in that regard. Thank you for just the next few moments that we have together as we study your word. We pray that you would help us to understand and that you would make it clear that the Spirit of God would illuminate our minds to the truth that is written here. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me invite you to take your Bibles and please turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We finished our consideration of verses 6 and 7 last time, talking about the one who is letting and will let until he be taken out of the way. And so we are in verses 8 to 10 for today. And here we will have a consideration of, quote, the wicked, that is, the wicked one. So let's read the text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. We're going to stop there at the first part of verse 10, because the rest of verse 10 down through verse 12 concerns those who are perishing, which we will consider next time. So, in verse 8 then, we read, and then shall that wicked be revealed. The word then is a timing word. What goes before the then? Well, you got to read back into the context here, which let me do that for you, beginning in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, Paul says, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. So after all of these things take place, then the man of sin, or Antichrist, as we would understand it, will be revealed. He won't be unveiled until after the rapture of the church, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit in the Church of Jesus Christ is withdrawn. We also recognize it's after the church has departed. According to verse 3, the word falling away literally meaning to depart. And then the wicked will be revealed or unveiled. He may already be in the world even today. We believe we're so very close to the time of the rapture. But he won't be known or unveiled or revealed until the church has been raptured. Now, in verse 8, we have the word wicked. Then shall that wicked be revealed. In verse 7, we read that the mystery of iniquity was already at work in Paul's day, and we learned that the word iniquity was the Greek word anomios, which literally means lawlessness. Well, interestingly enough, the Greek word for the term wicked is the same Greek word, only now as a noun, and with the article. Ha anomos is the Greek word translated that wicked. So here's a couple of things of interest when we think about this term, the wicked. In the Greek text, the word anomos has the article, as we mentioned, attached to it. Therefore, it is the wicked or the lawless. Now, this is someone particular. And of course, we relate this term back to verse 3 and the man of sin. Also, in our King James Bible, the word wicked is capitalized, and therefore acknowledging that the term is personified. It is really the wicked or the lawless one. This is a person whose whole nature and character is that of lawlessness and wickedness and sin and evil. He is consumed with that state. We don't have to think back too far to see lawless at work in our world. Just watch the latest news channel about the rioting and protesting in the States over the death of George Floyd. Granted, unruly and violent persons are engaging in vandalism and looting at the expense of those who want a peaceful protest, but we can see how matters can devolve into chaos and lawlessness very quickly. In some regions of this world, Christians are being persecuted and killed by men of other religions, and countries are outlawing anything Christian in their countries. We've known some pretty evil men in the past, like Hitler in Germany and Stalin in Russia, Mao in China. We know about some who are pretty close to being wicked, even today. We acknowledge that all men are sinners, but some stand out in their wickedness a little more than others. We even can see that if things were different in our world, there would be more evil men at work here on our planet. But this wicked man, who will be revealed after the church is raptured, will be the epitome of wickedness. And we have never seen the likes of him yet in this world. How has he become like this? Well, before we look at the rest of verse 8, we should take note of Paul's comment concerning the destruction of this wicked man. We'll just note it for now and then dig a little deeper into the statement a little later at another time. So what does Paul say about this wicked, this lawless man? Look at verse 8. It says, whom, the wicked one here, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In other words, Paul is going to tell us about the power behind this wicked person, but before he does, he wants you and me to know that this wicked man is doomed. He will be consumed by the Lord, by the very breath of his mouth. He will be destroyed at the coming of Christ. That is his second coming in power and great glory, according to Revelation 19. So don't be fearful of this wicked man. His destruction is established and will take place when Jesus comes again. That should give us great hope and trust in Christ, who will take care of this one in his own time and power. No man, even such a wicked man as the Antichrist, is more powerful than the Son of God. And Christ will end the work of this evil man when he comes back to this earth. Now, who or what is the power behind this wicked person? Well, look at verse 9 and then the first part of verse 10. Here's what we read. In verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Who or what is the power behind the Antichrist, this wicked one? It is Satan himself. The coming or presentation, the presence of this wicked man is by the working of Satan. The name Satan, it is Satan in Hebrew and Satanas in Greek, occurs some 56 times in both the Old Testament, 19 times, and 37 times in the New Testament. And the name means the accuser or the adversary. In Revelation 12, verse 9, we get a full statement about who Satan is. There we read, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And in verse 10, the next verse, Satan is called, quote, the accuser of our brethren, end quote. So that is what he does. He is the accuser of the brethren. So take note of the various names by which this evil angel is called. The great dragon, old serpent, devil, Satan, the deceiver. Each one of those terms defines the nature and the character of Satan. His deceiving the whole world began in the Garden of Eden with Eve. His subtle deception continues on down through history, even to today. But just imagine when the restraining power of the Holy Spirit in the church is removed, how terrible it will be on earth with no restraint. There's another verse in Revelation that adds to the statement in verse 8. In Revelation 20, verse 2 and 3, we read, and he, Christ, laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. When Jesus returns to this world, one of the first things he will do is bind Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years so that he cannot deceive the nations for that length of time. Of course, 1,000 years is the duration of Christ's millennial kingdom here on earth, which he comes to establish. And, while I dislike the fact, Satan will be released from the pit after 1,000 years are over and for a little season. We ask why. Why would he need to be released? Well, that's for another sermon for another day. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. The wicked one, or the Antichrist, will be empowered by Satan. This power is evidenced in four things. And notice you will find that in each of the four terms that we'll mention has the word all attached with them. And so here we read in verse 9 that Satan will give this man all power. That's the Greek word dunamis. It is a power to act and power to destroy. All signs, secondly. Greek word is semeion, translated in the Gospel of John as the word with the word miracles, and that's what the word semeion means, signs or miracles. Thirdly, all lying wonders. The word wonders is teras, and has just the same implications as signs, miracles. And then fourthly, all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Deceivableness is the Greek word apate, which means deceit or delusion. And unrighteousness is the word adikia, which means injustice. It's translated with the English word wrong in 13 New Testament verses. Unrighteousness is just something that is not right. Now, true godly signs and wonders and miracles were done by the apostles in the name of the Lord Jesus. Signs and wonders actually occur together in 14 verses in the New Testament. For example, Acts 2 verse 43 says, "And fear came upon every soul." This was the establishment of the new church at the birthday of the church. On the day of Pentecost, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. In Acts 4, verse 29 to 30, we read, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, we read, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Signs and wonders, miracles, were the, I believe, the exclusive domain of the apostles, done by the power of the Spirit and done in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here in 2 Thessalonians 2, Satan empowers his man with similar gifts, power, signs, and wonders. But of course, they are evil in intent and deceivable or deceiving in person. Deceiving in purpose, sorry. All of them are couched in unrighteousness. Here, the devil is trying to mimic the work of the Holy Spirit, trying to deceive mankind into thinking his man is God-sent rather than devil-sent. We know Satan is a master at deception, making things look good but in reality are far from anything good or clean or pure or holy. Let us not be deceived by him today. Paul gives a warning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He was warning the Corinthian believers against false teachers and false apostles, emissaries of Satan. And so he writes in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works." That's amazing, isn't it? Satan can appear to be an angel of light, even though he is the angel of darkness and evil in reality. So let us beware of his deceptions. How shall we know his deceptions? Well, the best way is to keep into the Word of God, to trust the Word, and you will know what the deceptions are when they come. They may appear to be pleasant and good, but they will only be wicked in reality. Please don't be deceived. Believe the Word of God and trust Him to give you eyes to see the evil realities. Now, this power of Satan in his man, the Antichrist, the wicked one, is bent on deceiving them that perish, in verse 10. The question comes, who are they? Well, we'll consider them next time. Be encouraged, beloved. The Holy Spirit informs us of what the devil is going to do in the future tribulation to help us know that God knows all about our enemy and he will take care of the wicked one. The power of Christ is not to be compared to anything that Satan can do. The wicked one, the Antichrist, will certainly be destroyed, but not before he has his hour to deceive. Beloved, we will be departed before that happens, but there will be many left behind upon whom the deceptions of Satan will have monumental effect. So let us be sure that we tell others of the good news of Jesus Christ now, before it is eternally too late for them, and that our family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, and all others might acknowledge their sin, repent of it, and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, and God, and thus be ready for the Lord's return to rapture his church. We have some work to do, even in these days of lockdown. We can still be involved in the work of the Lord. Let us be unashamed workmen for Jesus Christ, for the Lord, even today. So, be encouraged. God is still in control. He has plans and purposes that he will bring to reality and to completion, even with this wicked one that is going to come. Well, that's it for this time. Blessings on you.